Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Good morning. Game two today. Tigers with a win advance to the ALDS against Seattle. They'll send Casey Mize to the bump. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, Luke Sloan on the updates, and we have a winner.
Oh, all right.
Our Name That Lion Wednesday game we play. Jake and Warren is the winner. He wins a pair of tickets to see the Lions take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Monday Night Football. And some passes to the Lions VIP tailgate at Eastern Market. It's from the Bullseye Group. The Lions VIP tailgate is back by Bullseye Event Group. All you can eat, open bar, 3 hours before kickoff. Go to bullseyeeventgroup.com for tickets today. So your clues. He was able to solve and name that Lion. Clue number one, I'm top 50 in career sacks as a Detroit Lion. Clue number two, I recorded both a safety and scored a defensive touchdown with the Lions. And clue number three, I had my best single-season sack total with the New Orleans Saints. Popular guess was Pat Swilling. Pat Swilling is not top 50 in Lions sacks. He was underwhelming once he came here.
Yeah.
And he also, I don't believe, ever recorded a safety either. Might not have even had a defensive touchdown. So not Pat Swilling. John, who was it?
Nick Fairley.
Nick Fairley.
Mm-hmm.
Several swings and misses on this one. Not as many as we had last week with Clay Harbor.
This is a little easier.
Yes.
Nick this Fairley, is one if, first if, round
you,
pick.
Yeah, if you say Nick Fairley, people will say, oh, yeah, he was either drafted by the Detroit Lions or played for the Detroit Lions. You say, well, who was it last week?
Clay Harbor.
Clay Harbor. See, I've already forgotten. Clay Harbor. And the same response that we got from Doug and from Gator is, who?
Well, assuming Gator's not listening right now, we'll see if he can name that Lion at the end of the hour. But Nick
Fairley.
It's
a bit
Fairley,
early for him.
Yeah. Nick Fairley.
Mm-hmm.
Name that Lion. Again, every Wednesday, name that Lion. Chance to win tickets to see the Detroit Lions. John, what does Casey Mize have to do today? What's good enough?
It's a terrific question. Obviously, we would all love five shutout innings. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think if he goes five innings and gives up two runs, it's going to be enough for the Tigers to... Because I think the matchup for the Tiger bats is a little bit better today with Tanner Bibee on the mound.
Yeah,
I think the production for the Tigers is going to be better than the two runs we saw yesterday.
There should be more than three runs scored in the game.
Yeah, and I'm not going to expect the same performance, even though it's possible. Maybe not the 14 strikeouts, but I'm not going to expect the same performance out of Casey Mize as we got from Tarek Skubal. So that's why I go with the five innings, a little bit less than Tarek Skubal, and two runs, which is obviously just a bit more.
I think they're going to... Thank you, Dan. One more time, what does Casey Mize have to do? What's good enough? I don't think he's going to see the order the third time through.
Right.
So you're right to kind of cap it at about five innings. Can I give you his three starts against Cleveland this season, and you just tell me... Thumbs up. Would it be good enough if he pitched any of these games, okay?
Yep.
The first start he had against Cleveland was back in May. He went five innings, gave up one run, six strikeouts, one walk.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. All right. His second start. This is what everybody's hoping for today. He went seven innings of shutout baseball.
Thumbs up. Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up. Again, we don't think he'll go that deep. His third and final start against Cleveland happened in the month of September. He pitched 5 1/3 and gave up 3 earned runs.
I would say thumbs down.
I don't think that would be good enough.
No. I gave him a little bit more. I kind of split the difference a little bit.
I think you were fair. And going through that, I think you put a fair bar for him today.
Five. I don't think he gets through 5 innings only having, I don't think it's a no hit, only, 15 batters.
No. I mean, you're not going to get what you got from Scooble yesterday. What we watched was vintage Verlander. I mean, they were talking about it on the broadcast when the game's done, where you get stronger as the game goes. You're throwing 100. You're pumping in heat in the 7th inning, getting swing and miss. That's the most strikeouts a Tiger pitcher has ever had in a playoff game. They're not getting that again in this series. So as much as it's going to be about Mize, it's also going to be about the bullpen. And it's also going to be about the bats, because you're going to have to score more. 2 runs probably not getting it done today.
Yeah. Well, and for Mize, it's really going to be, can he master location? That's really where Casey Mize can excel. And the split finger, that has to be on for him today. That's one of the pitches that separates him when it's on from other pitchers.
248-539-9797. We'll start with the obvious. I mean, the guy who gets the ball first in the first inning today at 1 o'clock, what do you need to see from him? Because this series is really, it starts with pitching. Both teams got to pitch well, and then it unravels from there, right? Scoring a grimy, gutty, ugly run is what they did yesterday, twice. I mean, they started off with a bloop. They take advantage of an error in right, little bloop, Torkelson drives in a run. It was the only hit with runners in scoring position the Tigers had yesterday. The other run, they scored via the bunt.
Yes.
Little throwback. I mean,
and I love
the series is going to come down to a run here, run there.
Yeah, and some of the numbers that we heard in the update that we heard the audio from McKinstry, this was not a part of the game plan throughout the course of the year. But they knew going into this game, hey, heads up, we may actually go small ball. And so I think in the update, it said, only five sacrifice bunts throughout the course of the 162?
Oh, I believe it. AJ is not a bunter.
No.
He doesn't like giving away outs. Doesn't like playing for one run. You play for bigger innings. But yesterday called for, by the skin of your teeth, as ugly as it needed to be, give them a taste of their own medicine. That makes it a little more satisfying. Mm-hmm. And take control of the series. Win the one with Scooble, which they had failed to do at the end of the regular season.
That, I mean, you go out there and you win game one, you put that performance out there, and now you create a little bit of doubt in the Guardians' minds. Can we hit? There's already doubt in the Tigers' minds. Can we put bat on ball? Mm-hmm. All right. They did enough.
I think today is a spot where the Tigers can play free and loose. They don't have to win today. They haven't been in that spot in quite a while. If you kind of think about it.
Yeah, but I'd be very careful. Loose today, you're throwing Flaherty.
Oh,
Flaherty's had some eruptions, and all of a sudden you've put Cleveland right back in. Yeah, it's not a freebie.
No, it's not. That they can approach the plate with a freedom.
Right.
It is a mental mindset versus. So that's why I just think Mize holding serve today and matching Bibee or keeping it within one, and you start applying pressure and you can approach the plate in a more free way because you don't have to. Versus the Guardians, the later you get in the game, they are going to feel it because your season's running out of outs.
Do you feel like, too, though, Mize has to best Bibee? You have to have the lead when both starters leave the game because Cleveland has the better bullpen.
I don't. The Scooble-Boyd game last year, Boyd left way earlier than Scooble, but Boyd matched him. Boyd gave them a chance to win. Mm-hmm. The Indians couldn't hit in that game, or they loaded the bases and they couldn't get somebody home, They're very similar teams in some ways, despite how they scratch across runs.
Well, so that's I think, fair to say these teams are similar. I mean, they finished within a game of one another in the standings. Neither team is the 27 Yankees, right?
But the Tigers have more batters in the lineup that are likely to run into a home run.
Yeah, but this is, again, what decides the game. You like the Tigers lineup being a little longer, a little more dangerous.
Yes.
I still view Cleveland as... Well, their bullpen's better, and they can manufacture runs better, so I still give them the edge.
That's why Mize has to be good against these bad hitters in their lineups.
Yeah. you can't give up an easy one to a bad hitter. And it's simply, and I think when you look at the Guardians, the lineup, okay, it doesn't scare you, but the combination of Ramirez and Kwan, like, they just seem to find ways to manufacture runs in that small part of their lineup.
We want to know about where you're at today. Day game. Yesterday, people say that they weren't even going to watch. They were burned out. I wonder if the outlook has changed for Tiger fans after yesterday.
Yeah. Tigers in two.
Certainly hasn't changed for you. You feel great about it.
I do.
And we'll hear from people today. 248-539-9797. All right, guys, I want to tell you about going to the dentist. It doesn't have to be this thing you dread. It doesn't have to be scary, even if you have to get a cavity filled. I've been there. Brightside Dental makes it easy, makes it painless. A little numbing, communicate every step of the process, no big deal. Going to the dentist doesn't have to be a pain with Brightside Dental. No lectures about what you're doing wrong. Get you in, take care of you. 9 Metro Detroit locations, including one right around the corner from you. $35 new patient special that covers exams and x-rays, and there's no hidden fees. So make an appointment. Get back in that routine. 1-800-PAINLESS. BrightsideDental.com. Tell them Jim Costa in the Morning Show sent you. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment. Just care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Yesterday on the show, we coined a phrase, baseball burnout. We got a lot of calls from you guys saying, I don't really care that the Tigers are in the playoffs. Yeah. I don't know if you meant it or if it was like, hey, one of those Lions free deals where you're still going to be on the couch.
Or you're just waiting to see what happened yesterday.
And that's what we want to know is, did yesterday change your outlook, change your tune? Because they won. Did you need to see them do that? Beat the Guardians, take control of the series. Has your outlook changed? 248-539-9797.
And it's at a time where, okay, Casey Mize has pitched good against the Guardians. Is he going to be able to have that type of performance today? And it's on the heels of Skubal had a special performance. That just wasn't your average Skubal start. That was a special performance, and the bats still didn't follow.
And that's why I'm still concerned. I picked Cleveland. I'm sticking with Cleveland, even in the face of history and the odds. I think they've already shown us this season they don't care what the odds are. They're the hot team. They're more built to play this kind of grimy, gutty, garbage baseball.
They were the hot team.
Okay. They have the better bullpen, and their lineup is more capable of playing the grimy, gutty, garbage baseball that it's going to take to win this series. So while they're behind the eight ball, they don't have to face Skubal anymore. You're not going to see Nolan Ryan anymore.
No.
So I know the odds suggest they're not going to win this series. I'm not willing to come off that position. I didn't see enough yesterday from the Tiger offense, 1 of 8 runners in scoring position, to feel like the Tigers are winning this series, even in the advantage position they sit in today, which I won't deny.
Who do you think's first out of the bullpen? If Mize goes 5 and the Tigers are, let's just say they're tied 2-2.
Yeah, you know who I think it'll be? Holton. Guardians have a lot of lefties. Tigers, by the way, only took 2 lefty bullpen arms. I bet you Holton's going to pitch today if he's not the first out of the pen. It depends where in the order, but I think we'll see Holton. The problem is I think Detroit's going to have to use 4 or 5 arms, and I think that's a terrifying prospect that Tiger fans, you can't fight me on that. You don't trust this bullpen.
So let's play it out and do it before they even get there. It's 5 good innings by Mize, tied 2-2, and the score is irrelevant. Let's just say Holton comes in and takes the 6th. Do you then go to Melton for the 7th and 8th?
Depends on the score, but yeah. Okay. He can pitch multiple innings. He's a hell of a weapon for AJ today.
And then that gets you to Finnegan.
And look, honestly, Vest can throw again.
Sure, but I'm just saying, you know, yeah, they're going to have to go with bullpen arm, multiple bullpen arms, like not yesterday, like they did with Vest. But
and John, this is also with the assumption they have the lead, which I'm not sure of. Again, the bats are still not out of this funk. Yesterday didn't show me that, like, oh, hey, the Tiger bats are alive for the postseason. They had five hits.
But can you get shut down innings from the bullpen with one with Holton, two with Melton, and the ninth with Finnegan?
Finnegan, look, yeah, the answer to your question is yes, they can. Finnegan has looked shaky lately, right?
Yeah.
So far from a given. And Holton has
none
had a much more...
Given. None of it's a given. I want to go into this conversation saying none of this is a given.
So what is likely?
Yeah.
Likely is the Tiger bullpen that has struggled for much of the year, the Tiger bats that have struggled for much of the year, are going to struggle.
And they have struggled. Guardians also struggle to score runs.
Who is better equipped to win a garbage baseball game? It's Cleveland. They're favored today, by the way. And if you get to game three, we're staring down Flaherty, who is a walking eruption waiting to happen. So I know people feel good about the Tigers. Hell, I loved that they won that game that way, stuck it to Cleveland, gave them a taste of their own medicine. It does not mean they've won two games yesterday. They only won one.
Well, the Tigers, too, they have a completely fresh bullpen today. I mean, you could use Vest if you wanted.
Yeah.
Situationally, I don't think AJ wants to today. But the rest of the bullpen's there. It's fresh. And I know, Jim, you're critical of it, and you should be honest with you. But the thing is, since he has every arm available, he can cut the rope short. Three batters, you know? And so envisioning them allowing base runners, pressure moments, but getting out of it, being able to flip lefty, righty, righty, lefty. Now, they only have two lefties, right?
Yeah, I believe they only, Scooble's the third, but yes, two out of the pen.
So it's going to be crucial when he decides to do that. You're going to maybe see that against Manzardo, you know? So... I mean, Kwan, it doesn't matter because of the type of hitter he is in my mind. But
no, but again, their splits, they would prefer to face a righty with all their lefties. So Kwan is much better, like 100 points better with a righty, Casey Mize on the mound. Manzardo, much better with a righty on the mound, Casey Mize. Like, it does set up for Cleveland to get a little more oomph out of their lineup today.
Oh, I know it does and stuff. But the thing is, JJ has in his back pocket, he can quickly change to another arm to stop any... like high pressure moments.
The other thing,
like yesterday, for example, in the ninth.
How much of this too is Cleveland? They put in those guys to face Scooble that ended up making terrible plays in the field. Right, their right fielder botches a ball in the first inning. He's only in the lineup to face a lefty,
right.
And Big Christmas tap dancing over at first base, can't even get his feet on the bag. Like, I'm not sure if he's in the game today with a righty on the mound.
I don't know. He's still got that potential for the pop.
Well, maybe right. He's a DH.
Yeah.
It's going to be a completely different game. That's the one thing that I think we all agree on going into today. And it's not just because a large part of it is because Scooble's not on the mound. They're going to have a different lineup. And with Bibee on the mound, I do like the matchup of all of our best hitters. You know, save Torque and Dingler.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of our best from the left. So it's imperative that they take that same mindset that they had yesterday in that first inning. Now, you don't want two pitches, two outs, but you got to be aggressive at the plate. You've got to attack him and then force them to get to their bullpen early because they used a bunch of arms yesterday.
They did. And I think they'll use him again today in a do-or-die spot for their season. So,
you know, and they're going to use Cade Smith if they can in probably a high-pressure moment earlier. He's not very good the next day. That's why they got to him in that game back in July they won in extra innings.
Dickerson had the stat yesterday. Cade Smith has given up four home runs this year. Three of them are Detroit Tigers.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you lose today, but they have to use him. I mean, think he's, you talk about Flaherty tomorrow with Cade Smith.
On a third day?
Yeah.
I know. Where are you at? We want to hear from Tiger fans. Did yesterday change your outlook? If you were someone who wasn't even going to watch, listen, pay attention, I kind of think that was talk, but if you mean it, okay, did it change? And if you're someone who thought the Tigers were going to win, are you even more certain now, Tigers in two? Do you feel like they can go on a run beyond this series? Did your outlook change? Or did you watch that and think, it's still a struggling offense, they're still not out of the woods yet, this is going to be a pain in the ass, and I still don't trust them?
it's going to be a challenge no matter what happens early in this game. It's not going to be an easy out. You're not going to have, you don't have Shohei Ohtani to lead off, where he hits a leadoff home run yesterday and they end up winning. What was the final score? 10-5? Mm-hmm. He hits two home runs. They get another, you know, in the lineup to hit two home runs. Like, you don't have that lineup. That's why the Dodgers are dangerous. And we thought that maybe that's why the Yankees would be dangerous, because they had bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth with no outs and still didn't score.
Texters, it's October. New month, new bats. Tigers win game 2, 8-2. Nick and Novi.
I like that. What was the one earlier? We had, what, 12-2?
12-3. Yeah. Tigers, 8-3 blowout. We're going to kick their ass. Go Tigers. It's from Aaron.
Yeah.
Melton is not as good out of the pen as he is a starter, John. Factor that in.
Okay.
All right. This is why Costa is the new Rieger. Off goes your show until Carson Anderson.
Oh. Well, I'm still here.
God forbid anybody has a dissenting opinion.
Yeah, they're still here. We got news coming up.
One of the hosts didn't paint his face. I'm turning off the station. Really?
We can't
express any kind of concern or negativity. Okay, why are no concerns? You have no concerns with this team? Seriously? That's the opinion in listener land today?
I have concerns.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to this guy.
Oh, okay.
No room for any dissension or doubt with our baseball team. It is propaganda, win by 1,000 only, or I'm listening to Carson Anderson. I'll see you at 10. That's what that ticket texture just sent in.
But it's also propaganda that we're painting our faces.
I'm not saying you guys are.
But yeah, where do you cut off? Do you have to go with the whole head?
When you're bald?
Yeah, I think just a face would look weird. It's going to be a blue head and an orange face.
There you go.
You get the tiger whiskers.
There you go.
Let us know. Where do you fall? Are you concerned? You nervous? You have a greater confidence now. It's 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
And his day wasn't done. Looked like he may have emptied the tank with 101 on the punch out, strikeouts to all three hitters in the seventh inning. But no, Tarek Skubal came out for the eighth. Nearly finished the eighth.
Yep.
Threw over 100 pitches, pitched like an ace, channeling some Justin Verlander energy. Mm-hmm. And the Tigers win a gutty, grimy, gross Guardian style baseball game. They out Guardian to the Guardians. And are up 1-0.
Yep. There's a dominant performance by your pitcher. That's the reason you won that game. Sure, you scored one more run than they did, and you were able to yuck up one in the first and then another in the seventh. But the reason that you won that game was because your ace went out there and pitched as the best pitcher in the American League should pitch.
The Tigers' pitching edge is officially over. Cleveland now has the edge pitching the rest of the series.
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that they can't get a great performance out of Casey Mize, because they will play the game today.
Yes, John. Thank you for that. I'm not telling them to cancel the season. I'm simply offering an opinion that maybe people don't want to hear today, but even you won't fight the fact that Cleveland has the pitching advantage from this point on. They also are the team more consistent in playing that small ball brand of baseball that is going to be required, because neither offense is special. Both offenses have struggled. And even in the Tiger win yesterday, they were 1-8 with runners in scoring position.
And I'm trying to figure out from a athlete perspective, why is it that if you win game 1, you win the series, and more than likely you win it in 2? Like, I'm trying to figure out what is that mental or emotional advantage that the Tigers hold right now? And what is it on the other side? We're talking about the Guardians, because even last year, and I'm not going to go back even further than that, but last year, the team that won the first game won the series, and there was only one series that went to game three. And it was, if correct me if I'm wrong, but it was Pete Alonso with a heroic home run in game two.
Sounds right.
That forced game three. Or maybe it was game one that ended up.
John, you played sports. I'll tell you what I think about this and see if you think it applies to a former athlete. You've just gone on a 162 game marathon, the greatest marathon in professional sports. And then all of a sudden, you have no room for error. And what that does to the team that loses psychologically, I think it's a huge squeeze.
Well, it's kind of like what happens in game when you're trailing. Like, you have to start throwing out the kitchen sink. There's a desperation.
Yeah, well, that's a very thing. So you've just gone through this whole long, long season. Yeah, you are in a pennant race, so there's the pressures do build.
I was just going to ask you, though, if there was ever a team that would not have been intimidated by facing elimination, would it not be Cleveland, who's roared back with the largest divisional comeback in postseason history?
It's also about the Tigers have the mindset of, we just have to win one of the next two. The Guardians are going into this going, we have to win this one.
Right, the Guardians, too. There was a little house money aspect to their run to get into the playoffs, much like the Tigers had last year.
Right.
I'm telling you what, baseball, man, when you go up to that plate and you're down, those outs start running out on your season, that's only the greatness of Freddie Freeman last year. You know, you don't, most of the time that doesn't happen.
Right.
Right.
I think what bodes well for Cleveland is, Jose Ramirez is one of those dudes.
Yeah. So
he nearly pulled it off by himself yesterday. He can't hit himself and was the only issue for the Guardians late.
If you're leading one run, two outs in the ninth and Ramirez is up, I'm walking him. I'm putting
the tying run.
I would. Yes, I would.
Okay. The other guy they have that always has a knack for it is Kwan. They got a couple of those dudes who just...
Yeah.
And we saw it late in the season. Their bats stepped up in big games. They don't have nine of them. They have two of them, but those two play well in big spots.
I mean...
And in terms of the pressure, that's why I keep harping on a hot start. You can get up two runs either side. It shifts the pressure dramatically. No, the Tigers season can't end today. But if Detroit's got to play from behind and they're leaving guys on base, very quickly that muscle memory kicks in of, here we go again. It's more dramatic for Cleveland if they're down a couple runs and they can't small ball their way. They have to actually string together extra base hits. Then they're in a world of trouble, and then it starts to spiral. But it's all about who can jump out to an early lead.
Yeah, I guess, and I would have to think about that Ramirez thing a little bit more, maybe caught in the moment. But I think I would probably pitch to him, but give him absolutely nothing that you would think he could get an extra base hit on.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's that's why AJ is in that position. I trust him to make that decision. Does he think that the threat of Ramirez hitting a home run or doing something more dangerous than being the tying run on or the winning run on, but you got better odds of pitching to whoever's next?
Well, and that's whoever's next. Manzardo, but can you dictate matchups with lefty-righty? You only have the two lefties, but if you've saved one, now you can throw the lefty at Manzardo, and either he has a bad matchup or he's out of the game entirely.
Right, exactly.
You can get creative.
It depends on the complete scenario. Can you change your pitcher? Has he faced the minimum three batters? All that stuff. But I've always been a proponent of being a little bit aggressive and intentional walking, because you're going against one of the worst hitting teams in baseball. Aren't you playing they get a hit less than 1/4 of the time?
But what do they do with their hits? Right? They'll steal a bag. They'll bunt the guy over.
But this is two outs, though. You're not bunting a guy over.
Yeah. Look, it's going to be a nail biter again. I think everybody's in agreement there.
Yeah.
It's going to be dramatic again with the Guardians. Just always seems to be that way. We'll end the hour with some NFL future stats. Tom found some interesting ones. We've got Heather's news first.
Well, this news is sponsored by Randazzo Heating and Cooling and Electrical. So members of the LDS Church in Grand Blanc have collectively raised more than $150,000 for the family of the shooter who killed four people. So we've talked earlier this morning about how a lot of the family members have been starting GoFundMe for their families who are either going to be recovering or who didn't survive the attack. Well, this organizer of this campaign explained that one of the families that also suffered during this horrendous loss was the family of Thomas Sanford. So he left behind a wife and children, one of who has some severe medical challenges. So this man thought, you know what? This family also deserves some help as well. And a lot of the people who have been donating are members, not only of this church, but of other Mormon churches across the country.
I mean, that's true compassion.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, and it is true. That family...
It's not their fault that they had this sick person in their life.
No, and now this woman is left behind on her own to deal with the aftermath and raising her children as a single woman. So they're
practicing what they preach.
Well. Yeah. And I mean, it's pretty incredible to see these people stepping up and paying it forward. A seating incident on a recent Southwest flight has sparked a debate online about who's in the right and who's in the wrong. Mm. So Southwest right now has the open seating policy, right?
Basically, when are they flipping that?
It's in January.
Okay.
I think I've got January 27th of 2026. So soon that policy is going away. But right now they have the open seating policy. Basically, that's first come, first serve, right? You walk on the plane, you pick where you want to sit, and you sit there. Well, there was one man who walked on and found a seat next to a woman in this aisle and said, "I'm going to sit there." And she said, "Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. I'm holding the seat for a friend."
It's not how that works.
And on principle, basically, the man was like, "No, this is an open seating and I would like that seat and you're not allowed to hold a seat." And things got pretty heated. It sounds like they both remained calm enough, but definitely they had flight attendants involved. And eventually this man was able to sit down, put his stuff away, but it didn't last long. He was eventually escorted off the airplane by staff. Yes, and everyone on board started clapping because he had delayed, because he was holding up the boarding line.
I get that.
He delayed everything by about a half hour. So there are some people that didn't make their connecting flights because of
But is it his fault that she wouldn't give up a seat that's open?
Well, that's the debate online, right? Like who was in the right and who was in the wrong? Well, apparently there isn't like rules on saving seats, and Southwest has said they don't have a specific policy for or against saving seats.
So that's a sorted out amongst yourselves policy.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm shocked that this hasn't come up as a situation before.
Well, right.
And I guess the question is, if you were there, was the seat behind them open in front of them open?
I'm sure it was, but it was all for this man on principle of the fact that I think is what it came down to is that because he said words like, "I hate when people do this. I hate it. She's not supposed to save the seats." So it does sound like it was more of like, "You're not supposed to do this."
Yeah, and because you told me I can't, I want it.
Yes.
Picking a fight.
Yikes, man. Listen to this story. An American just won one of the biggest cheese competitions in the world for the very first time. Amelia D'Alberto is a cheese expert who actually studied at the Philly Cheese School. It is actual academic institution. It's a real school.
She's a cheesemonger,
and she competed at the Cheesemonger Olympics in France last month. And the Olympics, basically, it included a written test, a blind cheese tasting test, a cheese sculpting event, and one where competitors actually had to cut the cheese. I mean, you know. Yes, and she's the first American to win gold.
That's awesome.
Pretty darn cool.
Jim, have you never
been to a
cheese shop with a cheesemonger?
What does that mean?
Do you like cheese?
Yes.
Okay, then you need to seek one of these out, or not seek it out, but when you have the opportunity. There was one that moved into Petoskey for a little while, and I went in. I love cheese, and so I kind of told her, like, this is what I'm looking for. This is what we're serving. Mm-hmm. When we had people coming into town, maybe it was for a Thanksgiving, and it was amazing the new options that I tried that were terrific.
Yeah,
I would never have done it because I don't know enough about it. I just...
I'd never heard of a cheesemonger before. Like, I never heard of.
So, is it kind of like wine has sommeliers?
Yes.
Is
this?
Yeah, it's a cheese expert.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's just an expert, but also sells cheese. I mean, she'll teach you about it and sell it to you. Like,
And the way that they talk about it, it's one of those things where you're like, okay, I'm going to nerd out on cheese. And it's just interesting.
Yeah. Fun fact about the Philadelphia Cheese School.
Yeah.
38th and Greg Palm.
Got to start beating some better teams.
Yeah.
All right. That's Heather with the news. Coming up next, we'll see if Gator can name that lion, see if he could have solved today's riddle for Lions tickets. And yeah, we have some futures updates in the NFL betting market that stood out. It's 97.1.
Hey, what's up, Detroit? It's your girl, Heather, and I'm always looking for ways to stay on top of my game. So listen, you know how much I rely on my phone for everything. That's why I got to tell you about this insane deal from Verizon that'll help you be your best self, too. We're talking a low price on the best 5G in Detroit. Seriously, whether I'm blasting my favorite tracks in the morning commute or snagging those last-minute tickets to the hottest new flick. Check this out. You can switch today and pay just $50 a month for a single line. You heard me right. $50 a month for the best 5G in Detroit when you bring your own phone on the unlimited welcome plan with autopay plus taxes and fees. That's a no-brainer, people. Visit your nearest Detroit Verizon store today to lock in this incredible deal. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Rankings based on RootMetrics Root Score Report dated 2H2024. Your results may vary. Additional terms apply.
Off to a great start in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Playing today, 1 o'clock, Casey Mize on the mound. Last week, we kind of set Gator up for failure.
Yeah, but I think he can get this one.
So last week, we asked him if he could name that lion. Mm-hmm. And it was Clay Harbor, who played like 5 seconds in a Lions uniform, but appeared on The Bachelorette. That was one of the key clues, and Gator's not part of Bachelor Nation. Well, I guess in a different way he is. But he's got a better chance to get it this week. We'll hear from Gator in a couple minutes. Tom, you found some future stats.
Yes, I did. I get sent these emails every week, just odd changes and things like that. So there's been quite a bit of shuffling with win totals. But I'm going to give you the NFC North odds first. So the Lions are now favored to win the North.
Makes sense.
Green Bay had been.
Week one, yeah.
Yeah, and even after that, though, they were. The Lions, I think the Ravens win, kind of started flipping things to even. But they are the division favorite now. It's plus 110. The Packers are plus 115.
So still close.
Yeah, that's as close as it gets. They don't do like plus a 111, do they?
They could be co-favorites, I suppose.
The bigger one, I think this is pretty significant. The Lions have shifted from 10.5 wins to 11.5 wins for their win total. They were 10.5 going into the season.
Well, it makes sense. The Ravens were a game a lot of people thought they would lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the Burrow injury and schedule is looking a little easier in general. But I think that's a significant shift for them to have that change. Because for me, I'm still a little unsure if I'm shifting from 11 wins yet. And I think that's something we can talk about here maybe Thursday or Friday is, have you shifted the ceiling?
I think before the year, we were right around that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what my final win total was. I think I said 12, so I'm still the over.
I'm pretty sure you said 12, Jim. John, I thought maybe 13. Did you, or was it 12?
He bounced around because before the Ragnow injury, we had him at.
I think it was at 13.
And then after Ragnow, you may have gone down to 12.
Yeah,
I was at 12.
Yeah, so I think that's a pretty significant shift because they're now in the upper echelon. They were the one with the lowest win total out of the Power Five, as we call them.
Yeah. You know,
the Ravens have fallen out of it. How about this note? The Ravens have dropped from 11.5. preseason to 8.5. That is under 500.
Yes. And obviously they're 1-3 right now. And Lamar Jackson is not going to be playing. We don't know how long. It's a hamstring. So how long is he out? Because this week they have the Texans. Next week they hope host the Rams.
That's a big game.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, right now they're all big games because they can't go 1-4. Right. Certainly 1-5.
When do they play a division game?
They play the Browns in mid-November.
So he'll be back for that.
Yeah. Yes, I would think so.
Because those are the games. That division, I know Steelers are 3-1. I don't think they're going to run away with it. That division's going to be up for grabs for the foreseeable. Right.
And obviously they get the Bengals twice, the Steelers twice. They play the Packers the second to last game of the year.
Yep, week 17.
I think that might be a good value to go with the over. Depending on what they can do in the stead of not having Lamar.
Who's their backup?
Cooper Rush, I believe.
See, it always comes back to him.
I should have lied. I should have said, I don't know.
Eastern.
I'm not sure.
Hey, so The thing is with the Ravens, Vegas doesn't know what to do with them right now because they get one place they got them at 8.5 wins, and the other place they have them as division favorites.
Right.
They're still among the Super Bowl favorites. They're not, you know, 1, 2, 3, or 4, but I think they're in that next pod, and I think it's the book kind of covering if they get in.
Yeah. If they're healthy and they get in, can they be playing good enough at that time?
Right.
Well, it's kind of just saying 9-8 is going to win the division, which might be on the table.
I'm not shocked if that's what it is.
If the Steelers kind of crumble here.
Yeah, and just a note in that division, the Browns, they've made a quarterback change.
Oh, yeah, that broke today.
Obviously, the old man Joe Flacco, he is going to be moved to number 2. They're not moving him all the way back. He's going to be number 2, and Dylan Gabriel will start his first game this week.
Not Shadur?
No, Shadur is still going to be through, which I think is a great move.
So last
Honolulu flu.
A little bit.
That's what happens. You play the Lions, you got to make adjustments. Yeah.
Could just be that he's old.
Changements, as we say on this show.
Yeah.
Changements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're going to change it up.
All right, Gator, can you name that lion? Every Wednesday, we give away Lions tickets. We give out 3 clues.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know The Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.